Well, welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
This is our June 21st reviews issue, and this week we have Excellence number 1 and 2. Do a little collaborative review of that.
Partial.
But first, we have Event Leviathan. This is DC's 6-issue miniseries written by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev.
Woo-hoo. I'm glad you knew the date, because when you said that, I was like, it's June 21st. Didn't know that.
Yes.
Where am I?
Luckily, I'm staring at my laptop right now as I'm also talking to you. So, yes. I am just so excited to see where this goes. This truly felt like Brian Michael Bendis returned to sort of mystery. Like, he's a very good mystery writer. Like,
okay.
I mean, he's Jessica Jones' creator.
That's true. Okay, yeah. I'm like, you know what? I never really thought about Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and this kind of feels like his return stylistically to that. And he's great at, I'm usually not a big mystery person in general, but he's great at setting up mysteries.
And I'm not a mystery person either, and I was like, yes, this more.
Yeah.
There was a layering of whodunit within the mystery, that put all of the people investigating it as at risk as being the person who done it, you know?
I'm going to ask this question, and I don't know, is Green Arrow like a detective in his comics too? I thought he was more of an action-y character.
More of an action-y character,
okay.
But he's ground level.
He does stuff
okay.
Every now and then, yeah.
Okay, I was just curious. I would like to also say that it needs to be said that Alex Maleev, like, tonally, with his artwork, smashes into this so well.
The book is gorgeous.
Yes. The scene of the Argus headquarters exploding, or that full splash
exploding.
Page, and then, like, the whole sequence of that stuff is just, like, so well done.
The Kirby dots that are sometimes used in the explosions, which I think is really cool.
Yeah,
I think the best part to this entire book is it's all superheroes with no superpowers playing detective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big theme of the Leviathan event.
I think
in
so, too.
General.
The end of the book is what kind of made me figure that out.
Yeah, well, because I think Leviathan is, part of their big plan is to take away all of the, like, most powerful people. They're, like, kind of starting from a top down and systematically,
just remove them from the chessboard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, taking all the major players out of the game, like, before they can even start playing.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. This is, like, they mention it in this, like, it's not Lex or the Joker or anything,
nope.
Because it doesn't have any flair.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I really love about this, is that it's not themed. There's no, like, you know, like, fireworks coming out of the explosions. This is, like, the most coldly calculated, like, around-the-world act of terrorism.
Right.
That the DC universe has ever seen.
I would have to say one of the best lines in that book, and I hate to say this, was from Lois Lane. It's a lot easier when Clark's here working with you. Why? It's a costume thing. Or it's a wardrobe choice.
Yeah. Lois was great in this issue.
Yeah, surprisingly, he knows how to write her for me not to hate her.
Yeah. That was great, too. Yeah, and the fact that, like, that they've already also established so much distrust between all of the characters.
The funny thing is Plastic Man going to be in this? I don't remember. But there was, It's really funny watching Lois Lane and Batman kind of go back and forth, because I don't think you really see that. Always a dividing line between them, and it's normally Clark.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both so skeptical that it's really funny to watch them actually go at it.
Yeah. Well, and they're both, you know, like, in their own way, detectives. You know, being the high-level reporter that she is,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of part of her job, and... Well, Bruce is Bruce, right?
Yeah.
So he's cold and tactile, and he's trying to find
honestly
out.
There are some days where I look at him and I'm like, "Are you sure you're Batman and not Dickman?"
any fun guesses who you think Leviathan might be?
Like, well, Stephen Trevor accuses Lois Lane, which was,
well, and then he accuses himself, and
uh-huh.
that's like kind of the
yeah.
thought is that
yeah.
anybody who's they've leveled the story in a way that. Those people, the people who would be investigating, could themselves be investigated. Like,
we're playing Clue right now, but not funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think...
Taking a guess, with all the people that are standing there, like, because of how the little that I know of Green Arrow, it just makes me think that it's Green Arrow.
You didn't go straight up Green Arrow, just make him the villain in the story?
Well, his thing is he's always been about the little guy, and who's the little guy in this world anymore, and it's, like, all everybody who doesn't have superpowers, and it's against the government. He doesn't like the government very much either, so it's just, I don't know, that seems like a very low-level guess, but at the same time, I also don't like this. I'm like, just tell me. And they're like, no, you gotta keep reading.
I'm curious when this reveal is going to happen, too, like, when it's gonna
Dude, Leviathan looks... awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, and like you mentioned Green Arrow, and they're wearing like a hood type thing, so it makes me think it might be like a Green Arrow apprentice, or maybe Red Hood.
Because
it has a little reddish color, so it might be like Red Arrow or
see, and that's a good Speedy thought. Like if it's Arsenal,
if
it's the Arsenal, Roy, has a problem with everyone. He has a problem with everybody, doesn't he?
Well, and Roy has been messed up. I think that you'd be pushing an intelligence level of Roy that's probably higher than he's ever done.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he is in cahoots with. Or he would be then in cahoots with Talia al Ghul, which he could get a lot of planning from there.
So in the Rise of Leviathan, he tosses her out of a helicopter. She's not a part of Leviathan anymore.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
But there's a weird moment in that one, too, where Lois is wearing the same outfit that she's wearing, too. Like, they're really manipulating the behind the scenes
It's going to be like Heroes in Crisis all over again, where I'm looking at every panel trying to figure out if there's secrets in them, because you know that there is going to be.
What's the name of Wally's, not Wally, Ollie's female apprentice?
Arrowette? She's in Teen Titans, right?
In Young Justice, she's Artemis.
Yeah, there's Artemis and also Red Arrow.
Kamiko?
Another one. Yeah,
Amiko,
the one in currently in Teen Titans.
I feel like that's too small level, but if it was the I don't know if the character from Young Justice, if she does have a comic book counterpoint, but if you know the sister of Chezzer and the daughter of Sportsmaster, and somebody who's been trained to buy Green Arrow as well, that's an interesting villain.
Yeah, because we haven't seen Artemis in the comics in a hot minute.
I don't know if she ever
existed, though, either.
I think that she's a combo character, but I think there is a character that has, you know, that relationship, that familial relationship.
Mm.
It could also be Spoiler. Like,
that's true.
Spoiler wears a
hood. I don't know a whole lot about her either, though, so...
Well, and she's from a crime family, and she's died before in the comics because of negligence by Batman.
Oh, shit.
The more we talk about female characters, the more... Because they have Leviathan in this, you know, very obscuring costume, so you can't tell, you know, how big they are, what gender they are, ethnicity, any of that kind of stuff. So the more we talk about it, the more it makes me want to
honestly
lean towards like a female.
I'm looking at Leviathan too. It makes me think of like the Halo characters. I'm waiting for the mouth to open up when they talk.
It made me think of Doctor Doom when I first saw it, to be honest.
Well, there's a lot of like the design seems to me to be something that is a subversion. You know, we're talking about the hood, we're talking about the red mask, and you know
this big bulky
shape.
Yeah.
It could be, and it could be really simple. It could just be Ra's al Ghul, you know? Like, it could be, like, a new form of Ra's.
Or it could be an entirely new character.
Which I think would be kind of... I'm going to call that a misstep if it's a new character. Because if you're trying to do a murder mystery, like, in a big, like, event like this, and part of the mystery is seeing if the fans can solve it, and so you want it to be somebody who exists, because that would kind of be, like... Somebody may get it. Somebody already got it somewhere.
The other portion of it is too is you have to think they're doing Year of the Villain right now too.
What would be
the one thing that Bendis is like, you know what, we're gonna make this person the bad guy because this will be good. So I think to add to our Year to the Villain. So
it could be a robot too. Like that's the other thing is like Leviathan, the person that we see could be a machine, and it could be like something like where it's Oracle, you know, running things from the back with Barbara Gordon remote location.
Yeah,
or it could be Talia. We could have been subverted from the beginning because Talia always references an organization like her subset of
God, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's making it worse. I'm like, I just want to know.
But that would be really interesting. Like, she puts herself, like, throws herself out of a helicopter, but she's actually the mastermind and it's really been her all the
time. The one thing, one thing that I really want to know right now is I think we're going to find out what their plan is first, but the her, like, them talking to this doctor, because it looks like that was the only person they saved from that. But at the same time, I'm like, are they actually all really dead, or did you just put them somewhere else? Yeah, that's my other question.
Teleported them.
Well, apparently they did something, because that doctor was supposed to be dead, and she's not.
Well, and that's the other thing, is have we confirmed any deaths yet? Or
That's the other portion. Is like, who do we know if anybody's actually dead?
Is this a hero preparing people for a coming of something else?
Yeah. I mean, Oh wait, yeah. Sorry, she is the one.
She's the one that died.
He basically sees her.
I'm just getting that, putting two and two together now.
Doesn't it make it more of a mind fuck when you do?
Yeah. Because
now you're questioning if everybody's dead.
She very explicitly is caught in the quote unquote explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. So Event Leviathan is responsible for the capturing of Clark Kent to get to Superman, which would then sort of put into question if it was anybody who knew Superman's identity.
Yeah.
Because if they knew that, then they were just literally capturing Superman, knowing that they were capturing Superman.
Well, the thing is they put kryptonite on him, too.
Well, they put kryptonite on him to be a deterrent so that if Superman came, kryptonite...
But that's...
Yeah. But they could why be didn't, saying that
why,
too.
Why didn't you just hang it from the ceiling or put it somewhere else or hide it in something?
Because if he physically went to take off the thing, he would be weakened trying to take off the vest.
He would have been weakened when he walked in the room, though.
True.
So there were other portions of that.
But
that
he could. We're gonna go super nerdy. If it's kryptonite hanging from the rafters and you know it's right above Clark and Superman comes in, if there are different people, he literally could still just fly across the room, grab him, and get out, and he would still have enough, energy that he would be okay. But if he grabbed him and he was holding the kryptonite, he's going to constantly be in that weaker state, so it locks him down.
Yeah.
Or it could just be a subversion, like you were just citing, that maybe they do know that it was that Clark is Superman.
And they're just giving this reason to make him think that they don't know.
Right, which is also would then make Lois think that they don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm starting to now lean on it's some sort of a hero trying to train the heroes. It could be Batman.
I think.
Bender, stop it!
It could be Batman saying that there's something else coming, so I need to get everybody in line and ready to fight this incoming thing.
Bender!
So I'm going to do this huge god mode, to train all of the people, all of the heroes who don't have powers. You got to be ready for this, for what's coming.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that's crazy. It's really weird to me, though, because I was actually introduced to Leviathan from the Silencer comics, and it was
Talia al Ghul,
organization
right?
that she used to work for. It was actually just like a crime organization, and Talia al Ghul she ran one syndicate of Leviathan, and then the Silencer worked for them as the assassin, and then Talia, when I stopped reading it, Talia went to take control of the whole organization. She made this crazy power play. And so, now that, Leviathan is a person...
Yeah.
...doing, with a plan and stuff, it's... That was a little jarring for me, personally, but...
I don't know even know if they're technically... If that is their name, either, is Leviathan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
they
might
just know that they are part of Leviathan.
Yeah, and it might just be like sort of a manifestation.
Uh-huh. It's the effigy that's represented the syndicate.
Yeah.
I have to wait
like
another
that.
Month for this too.
That was really that was a bigger discussion than I thought.
I know.
Yeah, right?
I was like, all right. I went in there with lots of questions and came out with even more
questions.
I'm glad I went in with questions and came out with more, because now I'm just sad.
Speaking of questions,
hey.
We're going to talk about excellence number one and two.
I thought you were
going to
mention how we see the question.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, questions in that.
Yeah,
we don't get much of the question.
Oh god, let's move past that. when issue two comes out. So, excellence number one and two. It's written by Brandon Thomas and Kari Randolph, with art by Kari Randolph. How do we describe excellence to someone? It is a society in which the wizards of society operate in the background to kind of keep things in line, but the rule of the wizarding world is it's all black families, no women, there is a... I'll read the five
Is it five rules. Rules? I thought it was four.
Four rules.
Oh, yeah, four. Sorry, Ivy. Mm-hmm.
And they're called the four walls, by the
four
way.
Walls. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, because they lock things. Locking the code inside of them. Mm-hmm. The protection and defense of the undeserving is not allowed. The creation of a magician's wand without permission is not allowed. The casting of spells without an approved wand is not allowed. The use of magic by females is not allowed. That is the tenets, and then we'll get into the story. So we're following a character who has failed, but he's from one of the highest ranking families, and he keeps failing to manifest his wizarding abilities. And we enter the story when he finally gets to his trials. Which, shocker to no one, he succeeds.
Yeah, exactly.
But it
took him, like, 10 years more than most kids to get it.
He succeeds at 15, which...
Yeah, when most, I believe they were casting by, like, the age of 4 or 5.
Yeah, so... This book is pretty freaking great. I don't know, like, where to begin discussing the book. It's, there's a lot of themes, a lot of...
I just don't understand. I'm like, when I was reading it, I'm like, number one, if you're like me and you read with the television on, don't do it. Because there's a lot. Because
it's like...
There's a lot.
There's always the desire to compare stuff to Harry Potter when it involves magic and wizards and stuff.
I guess that's
like,
weird.
The excellence just drops you right in the middle of this world. Usually when you have magic and stuff like this, there's the character that's like being introduced to it, so you as the audience member can also be like, you know,
understanding what's going on.
Yeah, you use words to cast spells, and these are a few of the basic spells to get your mind around how it works, and here's like customs and stuff. But
you know how you stood on the edge of that building right there, and you're like, oh, this is nice. The writer just literally came in and kicked you in the back, knocked you off the building, and says, good luck!
Yeah, but the main character, he's the member of one of the highest families, so he, out of the gate, and you following him, is already expected to know everything. You know, you're supposed to be excellent.
Yeah.
So...
Excellence is real.
I'd also like to point out, and the whole reason I picked this up is because so this is why we're doing 1 and 2, because Kat picked up the second printing of the first one. Didn't realize that until I looked at it closer this morning. The main character looks like Michael B. Jordan.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty like...
now you say that.
That is... That's really awkward for you, Patrick.
They might be preparing for an eventual movie deal. They'll be like, hey, Michael B., you wanna play the lead character?
The other part of it is, too, is, like, I remember, I think, when he hits 15, he's like, are you growing a mustache, too? And I'm just
has, like, the Michael B. mustache that he usually wears. Yeah. I would watch the shit out of that show.
Yeah.
or movie.
Right.
I think there's a lot of really... So there's a lot of, I guess, time travel elements in the story. Because they do some, like, time jumping.
I wouldn't call it time travel. I think it's more like... I feel like there's more stories in this. There's more than just... There's, like, an underlying story, and then there's the sides to all the story.
I get the feeling, and I may be totally wrong, but I think his older self visits him at the end of issue number 2 with, like, the Council of Selves. Like, there are many, many iterations of him. And I feel as if those, like, iterations of him are from different points in his journey of trying to save his grandmother.
That's interesting, because I was curious, because he summons, like, the mirror spell or something like that. But his mirror... And I thought it was just, like, summoning himself, but his other self had, a different haircut. He has, like,
lines... Point out too, is he one of the overseers?
Yuga, you spoiled one of my thoughts. I think
that
he might be. So the overseers are an entity that exists that goes after the people who are who break one of the four
walls
of magic, and there's a lot like. There's a lot there because we're dealing with, obviously, African-American culture in the story and being invisible to the general public. Mm. And the overseers are white, glowing white hooded figures that come after the wizards. there may be some parallels to draw from society in that one. But they look, the silhouettes look like our lead character.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at them, they look the exact same, honestly.
Well, the other portion of it is...
And there's multiples of them, and he keeps pulling multiple versions of himself, what I think, through time.
Well, because I think they give you the levels of what you... Is it in this one, too? The levels
of, like, of the wizard color?
Yeah, because they talk about it in...
I think they talk about it in issue one.
Yeah,
I thought it was two when he was bouncing through the elevators.
They mentioned it also. Oh,
casting color green for rooks, casting color blue for patrons, purple for the tenth, and the overseers cast in white.
Yeah.
So the overseers are the highest, like,
I mean,
level
this
of
is
going to
sound really dumb, but, like, white is technically the, all the, white is the absence of color, so, right?
It's all the colors.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. It's all the colors. So
yeah, white reflects back all colors.
Yeah, so in the back of my mind, I'm also sitting here like, this is sciency, because you go, because you increase wavelengths as you go up, because purple is higher than green in wavelengths, too.
Wow! Crack something open there. Jesus, that is pretty brilliant.
You're welcome for changing that up.
They're also cool tones. There's no reds, no yellows, none of the warm colors. Interesting. But
that's because they're longer wavelengths.
So the overseers, my theory is that they're either him, as a result of whatever journey this puts him on, he becomes the force that goes after the wizards that do the wrong things because he did the right thing. Or the overseers manifest as a reflection of you. So the overseers will look different depending on who the wizard is that is going after. So it's always going to look like a mirror version of the wizard.
That's really interesting because so far twice...
God, this is so highbrow.
In the first... I know, right? Because in the first and second issue here, we see him summoning multiple versions of himself. Yes. And at first I thought it was just like a cloning spell of sorts. But... Because there is a huge emphasis on time. And not just like... So issue two not only jumps through years and flashbacks, but also just minutes between when the main event occurs. And so Nat just had a breakthrough.
19-year-old him, blue spell. All of the other ones are green. So he is a different level wizard when he... is calling upon his other versions of himself.
Oh.
So you're making me sweat with all the thinking I have to do.
So this, oh man. And this, so, I mean, there's a lot about identity. Like, let's just be, like, the first one is, you know, who are you in the, in a family if you can't perform the task, or who are you in an organization if you can't perform the task that you're?
I will say I do have one complaint, and it's mostly just it's like a dialogue thing, but like the random iterations of dropping the F bomb and the S word and some of this, I'm like, we're using sentence enhancers, are we?
Yeah.
But that's really I will say at the beginning of the second issue, I caught it a little bit, and then it dissipated at the end of it. Which was really nice.
At the risk of sounding racist, there's a cultural aspect to that. Like, it's, you know, the inner city language that we're talking about. It bugged me more in issue one.
It was a lot because
it was
one.
It was the grandmother, which I thought was hilarious. Yeah, I mean, like, Gigi was the one who really like dropped the F bomb a bunch.
Yeah, that's true. It was. I'm kind of there with you. Like, issue one, because she was...
I wouldn't even say that's necessarily a racist thing, because that was... my mom talks like that, too. She's from New York, inner city, Brooklyn, kind of deal.
It's my mom, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but...
he crosses all races.
Issue one, it's just, like, the one character that does that, though, and I think
one... Oh, what the hell is his name? Aaron?
I don't know.
His
The surrogate son, the one
the surrogate son. Yeah, he mentions it. Yeah, he does it too a little bit, and it might just be a character thing, because I don't think he does it as much. He did it with his grandmother, but at the same time, you're bonding with your grandma. Do what you feel is right.
They talk a little bit like that, and I was gonna say issue one. Like, it's only her, and she talks, like, full-on Ebonics, and I think that, like, spreading it out a little bit over the characters. It's like everybody now. It's like everybody now talks a little bit,
except for the dad. I don't think the dad did though.
Yeah, he's a very like he's like a. I think he's supposed to represent high society.
Yeah.
What is Aaron's last name? Because I'm trying to see him on the, like the family name on the hierarchy of families.
I don't know if we know his last name.
Because if he's a Jackson or a Mitchell, then he actually ranks higher in terms of the families of the 10th.
I don't think he does.
Dales?
Yeah, because Dales is a third.
I don't think he is, to be honest. I think he's probably lower.
Dales and Mitchell are actually on about the same level. Jackson is the only one higher.
Yeah. I think he's on the lower end of it because he gets so disappointed with his own son and he sees him.
So. That's interesting. If he's like on the lower end of high society, trying to like, you know, climb because there's all that social pressure to be, you know, I mean, obviously this deals a lot with race, to be the, you know, rich black man in today's society, yeah. To act a certain way, to, you know, put on a certain show, to have your children come off as a certain way to prove all this stuff to society, essentially.
It said Aaron Mills, but that's Mills. Not one of the listed families.
Whoa, that's even more interesting if he's like the prodigal son, but he's not
a one to usurp one of the 10th.
That's
and
why he
raised
was,
himself up
that's
into
why,
society.
That's why
wow.
I think he hates him so much too.
And he's like trying to like essentially step on the backs of on Spencer's back to raise himself
right.
up.
So the Dales would be going downward and the Mills would jump into the 10th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so interesting that it's so cutthroat like that.
I really like, there's definitely going to be a point where we see a female wizard, and I cannot wait.
I'm pretty sure the female wizard is going to be outside of that. I think I honestly think there might be, like, an underground to this too.
I hadn't even thought about that, like, it was an underground society.
When I saw the Overseers first, I actually thought it was a woman.
Could be. And like we said, we don't really know what the Overseers are, other than they're the highest ranking. So.
Yeah.
And I just noticed this, like, middle page chapter.
They do it in both books.
There's a bunch of faces. There's two women.
Oh.
And I thought it was all guys, but...
Oh, shit, is it really?
Yeah, there's two with long hair.
Hmm. No joke.
Yep.
Wow. So. Yeah, this is a lot. Like, this is a science fiction, fantasy, racial tension, sexism book.
Yeah.
And it's a fun adventure story that's really hard to follow.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Kari Randolph. Amazing art in this
book.
Yes.
I feel really bad that we haven't talked about that.
I'm sorry, the story is so ridiculous. We gotta...
I realized reading it, I had to go look him up, and he is also the co-creator and artist on Mosaic, which is something I read before and loved. His artwork is so dynamic and kinetic.
This is exactly the type of artwork that I gravitate towards in comics.
Yes.
Now that my brain is bleeding from all the like in-depth thinky conversations.
He makes it hard to read. He doesn't pull any punches with the reader.
He doesn't. Yeah. And I can appreciate that. Just
me too.
Leviathan than this, you're just like, oh my god.
All right, everyone.
Well, with that said, I guess it's about time to sign off.
All right.
All right. Bye.